Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My career crisis.
There can come a time in your career when you just say enough's enough. Our guest today says she's retreated from her career. I really understand that. I retreated from a career in PR and marketing many years ago, which led to a week in bed at my dad's and then a quiet job at the local Waterstones, an absolute blessing. It was the Trini and Susanna heyday, so all people wanted to buy was their book or Harry Potter. All I had to do was point and eat Maltesers from a giant bucket underneath the till. They were happy days. But of course, my ambitious side took over. I got itchy feet. But making your first advance into the career firing line from that very safe retreat is terrifying. With any retreat comes a confidence knock, and worse still, this idea that you won't ever get back to the front line. Welcome to My Career Crisis, the podcast that bleeds our guests dry for details of their personal life and career and tries to have them leave the studio with a spring in their step and some sort of plan. I'm Ruth Barnes, and our expert, as always, is Creative People's very own Sue Ahern. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Have you ever had to retreat?
Oh, many, many, many times. Yeah, because you can't work stressed out all the time. And I think, you know, we've said over again in these podcasts that nothing is forever. So, yeah, take your foot off the pedal for a little while. No problem with that.
Our guest today is Fiona. Hi, Fiona.
Hi.
Welcome to the studio. Welcome to our little pod.
Thank you.
So I've headlined this with this idea of you having to retreat, but there's also another kind of subtitle to this episode, I think, which is I had it all and I burnt out. So I think that's very much your story as well. Do you want to take us back to, well, the days before you started to burn out?
Yeah, I used to work in a design studio in London, small studio but big project, so very intense day-to-day life. And I went up the ladder and reached a point where I was really happy working with my boss very closely, and I was her second hand really, and that was my big ambition. And when I reached that point, it got really tough, the hours and the workload, and on top of that, having a baby.
It's important to say that you are young. I mean, it's certainly for my peer group, you had a baby quite young, so you actually reached this point in your career fairly young.
I did, yes. Which feel like a bit of an anticlimax now, because I'm thinking, oh, there's so much to do still. But yes, yeah, so I am quite young, I'm 31. And once I had it all, I really, really struggled to cope with the pressure and cope with being really strong at work, being really strong at home. And it all became a bit too much, really. And nothing was enjoyable at the end.
And I think what stands out from your story that's different from the other people we've had on the podcast is that you loved that job.
Yeah, I loved it. And I worked so hard to get there. And I truly loved it. And I think that's the biggest thing that... It's the hardest thing to admit is that you don't love it anymore because it's become so hard, and you love other things as well. And I guess that's the thing. You have babies or you discover new passions as you get older, and you have to juggle all of this. But that work didn't allow me to juggle. It required all of me.
And I think when you work in the creative industry, it's all consuming. There's no leaving it in the office, is there? You take it home with you. It's very much part of you. You're a creative person. You're being an artist, aren't you? It's design. It's something very, very much in your fiber, in your being. You can't just switch it off.
I used to be able to, but when jobs got bigger and the pressure got more intense, I was bringing it home, and not in a good way. Bringing it home, thinking of creative ideas and being creative, that's great. But bringing it home through tears every night, it's not good for the spirit and for your relationships at home as well. It's just not, it's not right, is it?
So you hit the point of no return. You said, I'm going to quit. Just talk us through what happened in the thought process, because that is a difficult decision to make.
It's very difficult. I was part-time after having my daughter for 2 years, and part-time is a funny term, because part-time in theory, which meant I was working 4 days and having 1 day at home, but at the end, really, in hours time, it was really not part-time. After those 2 years, my colleague got pregnant and my part-time was revoked, which was a big, big eye-opener for me. I wasn't who I thought I was within the company. I was just this kind of thing that could be stretched here and stretched there. That was the point of no return, as well as, I think, I came back really strong from maternity. I was on the ball. I was very organized, much more than I've ever been. And suddenly, I was working really hard and really well, and it was rewarded by promotions, and that was great. But at the same time, it was also used against me, and I was put on too much work on my shoulders, and it meant that I had a week and a half worth of tasks and work whilst I was only doing 3.5 days to start with. And that was acknowledged to my face. They said, oh yeah, of course you have too much work. You have too much work to do. And I think, again, it's not, you're not treated as a person. You're not treating as a human really being or someone that has a life. You're just a commodity. And that's hard.
Can I ask, so when they started to pile this work on you, did you try to resist it at all?
I did.
How did you do that?
I actually said to my boss, sat her down and say, listen, I'm not doing a good job for you right now. And the only reason I'm not doing that well is because there's too much. I'm stretched too thinly. And unfortunately, and I learned that the hard way, it was used a bit against me, I felt.
You're saying that? You're admitting that was used against
you? Yeah, showing some weakness, actually, didn't play in my favour at all.
Mm. You see, a lot of this is about the personality of the manager. I'm going to have a bit of a rant now, because, you know, I totally get, you said it was a small business and you worked on big projects. I totally get, running a small business myself, that when you've got, say, two people going off on maternity leave in quick succession, that causes you a lot of headaches. I totally get that. But when will people not learn that 3 days of somebody who's absolutely brilliant and has worked in that company for a long time and has all that collective wisdom is better than losing that person? You know, I think we should make more allowances, because in my experience, most working mums, when they do come, they're very organised because they have to be. They give 100% because they don't want to do anything less. And it's about having a bit of a vision of the longer term, because when you've had your child, so the child grows up a little bit, goes into school, it's only a very short period, and then you'll come back with more vigour and you'll be very loyal to the company because they've been so good to you. And the companies where I see that happen, it works beautifully. But just going back to what you were saying there about showing weakness, I asked the question, you know, did you resist? Because I think often what happens is that people just get, women just get lower and lower and lower than they put their resignation in. And I think it's always worth trying to push back a bit. And if they, as in your case, won't go along with you, then you can leave. But at least you've tried. But also, it's very interesting the way you described it, which is, you know, I'm not doing a good job. See, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said, I'm employed for 3.5 days a week. this realistically, to the standard that you want, is what I can do in 3.5 days a week. Right, so at the moment, the work is being compromised. Can you hear how much stronger that sounds than, oh, I'm not doing a very good job? And you know, so you're already putting yourself in a weaker position. And it's great for you to hear this now because you're not in this situation. Cold comfort. But just, do you see what I mean? I think we have to be more of a force to be reckoned with. Now, that's not to say that they will immediately say, of course, you can have 3.5 days a week. But at least you've done it in the right way. And if they don't give you what you want, then quite wisely, you left. That's not a defeat on your part. That's a defeat on their part because they didn't exploit and maximise what they had with you. They're bad, not yours.
Especially someone who they've promoted and obviously invested in.
And I think the biggest, I was heartbroken to leave the company. I thought I could stay there for the whole of my career. I would have been quite happy to stay there. So it felt like a breakup, really. Mm-hmm. It's the end of a relationship and a really strong one on both sides. And there is resentment on either side, I'm sure. But we've had that conversation that the company is growing. And if you want people to stay there for a long time, you'll have to grow with them. Some people have the vision or some people will learn the hard way. And I think we both learned the hard way at that time.
I think it's also interesting what you were saying there. You said, if it had been up to you, you might have stayed there the whole of your career. I'm not so sure that's a good thing. I know it's comfortable. So is a rut. That's comfortable as well. If you're working for a company where your bosses really see the worth of you and develop you and you grow, that's absolutely fine. But I think it leads, if you're not careful, to a sort of infantilism. You know, it's they'll look after me because they're really nice people. And it stops you thinking about yourself. So I know loads of people who have come out of a company, gone and worked somewhere else and thought, actually, I'm better than I think I am. And then they're in a more powerful position to go back into that original company. So I don't think in the long run what's happened to you will be a bad thing at all. I think it will really help you. And you've avoided a nervous breakdown, which can't be a bad thing.
Tell us about the confidence knock then, because obviously you've described it like a relationship breakup and no one is in a good place after a relationship breakup. It's really, really difficult. You're going to be asking lots of questions and kind of wondering how did it get to this, right? Tell us about how you're feeling and what you're doing going forward.
Yeah, it's I'm sort of coming out of a phase where yes, the confidence has been knocked out of me, which is a real shame because I used to be quite confident.
You are so confident. Yeah, Fiona is like absolutely one of the most confident people I know. So it's a real shame to hear you say that.
And losing sight of what I'm capable of and not being sure that I can do the things that I can do. So that is hard to deal with. And it's hard to lose the status that I know that I'm defined by my work. And I do, it's probably a big fault of mine that, you know, how you introduce yourself, you probably introduce like part of it is through work. And I think that's a bit of a shame. So losing this, it kind of hit a bit of my own confidence as a person. That's been tough. But now I'm taking this time, and it has been really hard to slow down as well. I love the buzz. I thrive on it and I feed from it. And now I'm working only one day a week, which was necessary. I needed to slow down and have time for myself. So I'm working one day a week and I love it. I'm working at a university, so instead of practicing interior design, I'm now teaching. I'm happy to have done the move because it was necessary at the time and I got a great opportunity, so I'm really thankful for that. But I'm not at the heart of it anymore. And it does feel a bit like a compromise that I've been pushed by wanting to have a career as well as a family. I've been pushed to retreat in a sector that accommodates for this. And I think that's a shame because it feels like a compromise still. But let's see how let's see what comes out of it, I guess. It's very early days.
You're only 31. Give me strength. You've got so much time. God help us, we're working till we're 70. You know, think about it like that.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Are we?
It's really interesting the way that you, the sense of loss in what you're saying, which is so evident, and, you know, I totally get. But once you've done those things, okay, you're not in that situation anymore, but it's not like you, all of that counts for nothing. All of that experience at the cutting edge is banked. You have that now in your bank forever. You've coped with all those situations, and that's going to feed into so much more stuff in the future. This is temporary, you know, and you love it. And isn't it great you do one day, you're helping other people, and your whole knowledge of the business and some of the things that have happened to you are priceless to pass on, and the lessons that you've learned. But it's not forever. And once you've done this for a while, the important thing, though, is to keep your confidence and your contacts up. Mm. And through a university, I think that's very, you're very able to do that. And then when you're ready, when your child is older, when you feel you've had a rest and you're in a much better place, then you can start putting feelers out. Somebody of your calibre, with your experience, I should imagine a lot of small studios would like to give you a job on a freelance basis.
Yeah. If you're out there. No, yeah. The thing is, I'm quite confident that I can get work. That's not the issue. What I'm really aware of is I know what I want in terms of balance, and that's a harder thing, especially in high position studios where you're project leading. It does require for you to be there quite a lot of the time. And managing teams, so you have to be there and you have to be on the ball. And so it's more finding out, I guess, what's the next step. And I think that's quite scary, because I've been on the path for the last 30 years of what I'm going to do, I know what I want to do, what do I do to get it? And it's just been quite a slow progress. But it's, you know, I got there, and now it's a bit unknown, which is the scariest bit, I guess, the unknown.
A lot of this is about personality. I mean, I love the unknown. I love not knowing what I'm doing next week. I just think if I had to go to the same building every day, it would kill me. But it's just about personality. I'm not saying I'm any better. I'm just saying it's different. And for you, you like certainty. You like, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But at the moment, you've got this really nice balance. But I think a broader point is, so if you take home life, work life, children, okay, it's a sort of an ecosystem that feeds off each other. They're not equal at all times. And probably you can have, you know, you need to focus on one of those at a time. And I've had two kids and they've grown up, and I can look back and see times when I was actually, I think, quite negligent. But they didn't die and they seem okay. You know, they seem to have grown up. You know, this idea that you, when you're with your kids, you're with them the whole time, you know, and that would drive me mad, because, you know, but people get really sniffy about putting children in front of a television. God, Peppa Pig is my saviour. I have grandchildren now, and it's really lovely to sit down and watch Peppa Pig with them, because then they don't run around the house going mad, you know, and it's fine. And you know, some people might look at that and think, well, she's a very bad grandmother. Well, perhaps I am. I don't care. They're happy. They're healthy. They will be fine. So it's about not putting so much pressure on yourself. Be kinder to yourself. But we're surrounded, I think, by sort of archetypes of this is how to do it. This is the best way of doing it. The best way is you loving your child and doing it the way that you do it. And the rest is newspapers.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And also, I'd like to pick up on this idea that you said it's some sort of fault to identify through your work, and I don't think it is. I think you're very lucky to do that. I think we have a lot of people who come on this podcast who really don't know what it is they want to do, and I find that terrifying because I'm someone who's always had a focus about what it is I want to do, like you, and I feel like that's almost the hardest part of this journey. Is what is it that you love, and what is it that you want to do, and what is it that you can offer people? And you know what that is already. And this idea that you're now sharing your experiences with the next generation is very exciting, and the fact that you're still so young. And like Sue said, the network is so important. And I feel like if you could find that ideal opportunity that did allow you those 4 days of work, because it's not like you want to work 2 days. You don't want to work that much less, do you? Because you love the work. So it's like, if you could get that ideal scenario where they were saying, fine, 4 days, but, you know, you do truly get that fifth day off, right, with that you can spend with your daughter, that would be fantastic. I think it's about finding that balance. But the pressure is there. I can feel the pressure emanating of you. And I think that is residue from your last job, because like you said, it was this high pressure environment, right, that you were working in. And so you're struggling now with the fact that there isn't that pressure anymore on you. And actually, I think that's kind of a wonderful thing. And I think that, you know, in my experience, the way to work the way I wanted to work after having a kid was to start my own business. And I'm amazed that you haven't mentioned that.
Well, this time now is allowing me to think about that. And I think the better balance comes from freedom. And freedom will come from having your own company, having your own business. So it is something that I'm thinking about a lot. But it's nailing down and narrowing down what the business would be about. So I know the skills that I have, and I know what I would like to be doing, but it's just finding this niche and something that is, that has potential, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's time well spent, and I'm not, but it is hard to slow down.
Yeah.
It is hard, and especially it's been such a stressful time leading to now, that it's and I find it at university when I go in and I'm dying to start. I'm like on my chair being like, but it's 10 o'clock, can we just start now? And they're like, yeah, we'll start. So it is learning about, it's not healthy as well to be so stressed. So it's learning to calm down, slow down, and take a breather, really.
Just a word, though, about before anybody should listen to this and think, I'll start my own business. That will give me so much more time and control.
Yeah, that's true. That's not what happens.
No, having been someone who did start their own business, I left a very good paying job to start my own business because I wanted more control over my life. And especially when you first start up a business, you are working every hour that God sends to try and establish yourself. And maybe a nice halfway house. I mean, you don't have to go back in at project leader level, because that's, as you say, when you're project leading. But what you could do is, to keep your skills and contacts up, is to go in and do design for them and, you know, in a studio or at home, you could do that for somebody. You'd keep up those skills and those contacts, but you're not project leading it. Now, I know it sort of somehow feels that, yeah, but I was at that level and now I'm not. Again, it's only temporary, and it's expedient. It's something that will help you. I think it was the project leading thing that was the real clincher, wasn't it? That was the thing that gave you so much stress.
Yeah, it was. And also, it took me away from the design. So that was a choice to go to university, is go back to the fundamentals of design and try to find the love again for design. Like this year, I've kind of named it "Find Love Again for Design" because I didn't love it anymore, and I used to. So, yeah.
That's important. And I think just following on from what Sue said there, I always looked at it in my industry, whether it was freelance producers or freelance program makers, they always looked like they had that sense of freedom that we're talking about. I mean, of course, it's absolutely, you know, it's a terrifying place to be for some people as well, that kind of the unknown. But this idea that people would just come in quietly be brilliant, and then they'd just leave at 5 o'clock because they were freelance, and they'd just be like, see ya, I'm out the door. I've just done something wonderful for you. There it is. Bye. I'll invoice you at the end of the week. And they had this kind of quiet sort of certainty. They didn't get caught up in the office politics, which I know you were kind of embroiled in. And I think that's what made that breakup so difficult, wasn't it? Because you felt like you were on a par with your bosses and that they should value you. And for them just to let you go really hurts, doesn't it? And actually you're just like, hey, wait, what? Hang on. I thought what we had meant something to you. And I think that this idea of then going in and offering your skills and getting the satisfaction of that is important in terms of building up your confidence again. I think that would be good. Mm. Go in, be brilliant, but don't get involved. Don't get tangled in the weeds. Just come out every day and just go work from home. I mean, you know, you set your own working boundaries when you're freelance a lot of the time.
That's the thing. It took me a while to understand and to get that set, because leaving the job is a sense of failure.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of cornered to leave. I felt cornered, and I felt that the only way to be happy again was to leave. So that there is a sense of failure there. But I think it's, and also this need to have a bit more time to dedicate to myself or the family. It came with guilt and yeah, failure. But it's also, I had to realize and take some time to think that it's not the workload that was tough. I love working and, you know, putting hours in it. I don't mind this, but it's the idea that from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or 9 to 10, really, I would have to be in someone's office and having to obey to some rules that would prevent me from nipping out an hour to see, you know, the Easter bunny egg with my daughter.
And but, you know, it's interesting you use the word failure. Speaking completely objectively, looking at your situation, the only person that I think has failed is your manager. They have failed to exploit all your talent and experience, and I think that's shocking. Why you would describe yourself as a failure, I absolutely don't understand. You made the right decision for you at that time. They failed to maximise your potential. So, you know, a lot of how we feel is the narrative that we have about what we say. And I know you felt very bruised, but I think you can reframe that narrative, which is you absolutely did not fail. And guilt, don't start me about guilt. I think guilt is so useless. And what are you guilty about?
I thought it was such a cliche when you become a mom and then suddenly you're very guilty. And I was like, oh, that's such a cliche. Come on. and then it's so true.
Yeah.
You just like putting a kid in front of Peppa Pig. You feel guilty because you're not actively
painting
or doing Play-Doh or developing their brain. It does, or cooking healthy dinners, and there's so much pressure. Someone told me, you have to be a man at work, you have to be a goddess at home for your husband, and you have to be the best mom for your kid.
Who told you this? Never listen to another word they say.
Was that on a fridge magnet? Yeah. If it is, put it in the bin.
Yeah. For God's
no,
sake.
they were saying it in a way that, but it's true, that's what is required.
But by whom? Where is it written down that we have to do this?
By no one, but if you're at work and your boss said, please don't mention, kind of, it's acknowledged that you shouldn't mention that you're a mom.
Did they actually say those words to you?
No, but it's implied, though. No, I felt like it was an illness to have a kid at home.
I'm not saying that there aren't bosses that give that message out. But it could also be a lot about what's going on in your head.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure that you...
And trying also, to be that person you were before you had your child.
Yeah.
And instead of kind of owning the change, like, yeah, this is who
you're
I am
person.
Now. Sorry, yeah. But, get on board, which they didn't do.
But also, I mean, I was reading something very interesting recently about the fact that children are suffering now because they're not bored ever. And I thought, hallelujah.
Can we ever win?
No, I thought, hallelujah. You know, I spent great tracts of my childhood being bored.
Staring out of rainy window panes, just thinking,
and what that meant was I read a lot. You know, and my vocabulary was better. My English was better. Went on to study at university. So this idea that you have to cram your child with activities from morning, noon and night, the poor things, leave them alone. Let them just fart about sometimes, you know. I think that's really important for children. But this relentless schedule that we've got them on, I think is really sad. Bit of Peppa Pig never did anybody. We're not sponsored by Peppa Pig, but we could be.
But I could recite whole episodes for you right now. So, you know, anyway. Fiona, here's an experience from someone who has retreated but enjoys the retreat. This is Michelle. So, slightly different from what you're experiencing. I was an agent for a live entertainment producer working with celebrities and huge egos, but now I'm a barista on a 0-hour contract, which I love. When I first started, I lived in fear of former colleagues coming in to see me making sandwiches, wiping tables and emptying bins, trailing a whiff of bacon fat and bad life choices. Even though I was happier and less stressed than I had been for a long time, and my undemanding job meant that I could focus on my own creative output, it felt like a failure. I hid Facebook notifications from my contemporaries. Don't get me started on that. Yeah, that stresses me out so much. Their success turned my belly into a snake pit of seething, horrible envy. I like my job now. I like talking to customers, explaining the difference between a latte and a flat white. I love meeting interesting creative people like my friend, the costume designer. I love my 3-minute commute. I love that I don't wake up in a cold sweat if I forget to order napkins or cup lids. I love working 6 a.m. till noon, then having the energy and brain power to collect and write stories for my book. It goes on, but you can see what we were getting to there. I think it's about a mental shift, isn't it? That this retreat is about, it's Fiona time, which you've already said you're doing, and getting that love back for design. And, you know, strangely enough, I've always found in my career that when I shut something down that was starting to eat away at me, something will always open itself up. And I don't think it was this, it's the university for you. I think the university's great and it's keeping you ticking over, but something else is going to presents itself to you, and I don't know what it is, but I think you're only 31. let's just say that again.
But when you say something will present itself, you might have to help it along a bit. You know, this idea that I'll sit here and something will happen. No, you have to make it happen. So, you know, for example, maybe just looking at some design studios whose work you admire and maybe sending them a little note saying, this is my CV. I'm in the market for freelance work. If you're interested, can I come in and have a chat?
Have you actually looked at any of that?
Not yet.
Okay.
I think, well, I have looked at jobs opportunity. But I am taking a break, and I have to actively remind myself of this. And I'm trying to stay away a bit and focus. I've focused so much on work. I need to give that time back to the family as well, because all of this puts so much pressure on my husband that, you know, I'm talking about my breakdown, my burnout, but let's talk about his.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm in a better place than I was a week ago, 3 months ago. Every day it's about just accepting and enjoying this time. But yeah, I'm making peace with it slowly and enjoying my time and going to the gym. I'm happy to do that.
I'm sure there's so many people listening to this thinking, I want her life.
Yeah, I know. And we go back to the guilt, because I'm very lucky that I've been able, and my husband has been supporting me morally and financially to do that. He was the first one to say to me, quit that job. And he's been saying that for 2 years now. So I'm very lucky and so aware of it that it makes it a bit hard to not feel great about yourself.
Mm.
Because, yeah, I have on paper a brilliant life, and that's why I want to say yes to it and enjoy it, And yes, it's good to be reminded it's not forever.
Yeah, and don't feel guilty about it. Just think, aren't I lucky? Yeah. Do you know, I've been married for a very long time to a very wonderful man. And he always used to say, and I used to get annoyed with him when he said it at the beginning, the only relationship that matters is the one between us. Because if we're happy, our kids will be happy.
Oh, I'm going to start crying in a minute.
I know. It's very profound, isn't it? And especially when I was sort of changing nappies at 3 o'clock in the morning. I know what I wanted to say to him.
But all the things I've said at 3 o'clock in the morning, let's not go there.
But it's right. I mean, not everybody is in a happy relationship. People are single parents as well. But I'm just talking about my own experience now. And it took me a long while. And he said, those kids will grow up and they'll leave you. We need to be able to look at each other at the end of that and think we're still okay.
We still like each other.
Yeah.
Well, Fiona, thanks for coming on and telling us your story.
Thank you for having me.
I just want to urge people to write lovely reviews because I'm obsessed with our reviews on iTunes. They're just awesome. Sue, we've had another one.
Oh, have we?
Do you want to hear it? This podcast is a great confidence booster. It is like spending time with your best and wisest friends, the friends who've been there and done it and have the scars to prove it. More importantly, they know how you can pick yourself up afterwards. They have a very friendly, approachable style. I enjoy listening. Thank you so much for leaving us that. That review, and please rate and review us on iTunes if you enjoy the podcast, because it keeps us on the homepage and it keeps us going emotionally. I'm hanging on by a thread here, people. But thank you to Fiona for coming on. If you want to be on the podcast, just email info@chalkandblade.com. That's info@chalkandblade.com. Thanks to Sue. We'll be back with more stories very, very soon. And if you like the podcast, please share it with your network. More from My Career Crisis soon.
My job is driving me crazy.
Sorry.
Do you hate your job or does your job hate you?
Sorry. Sorry. I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
My Career Crisis.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.